We're going to continue on in our Fulfillment of Faith series. Up till now, in this point, we've reassured our faith. We've differentiated between faith and feelings. And last week, we got into the fulfillment part of our faith. We got into that and we broke it down into two things. And those two things were belief and works, belief and doing the will of God. Because Christ fulfills our faith by being Christ, by dying on the cross for our sins, he fulfilled our faith. And because of that, because of him fulfilling our faith, it gives us the opportunity to believe. And based on our belief and based on our faith in him, that produces works out of our life. This is not a works-based faith. This is not something where, if that was the case, people who gave their life to Christ as they die on their deathbed would not go to heaven because where are the works? We believe in faith. And at the same time, we believe that because of our faith, it produces works out of our life. Our walk with the Lord is lacking if we don't have faith, and it's lacking if we aren't pursuing the will of God. It's lacking if we don't have both of those. And last week, in the weeks leading up, we talked pretty heavily about belief. We talked pretty heavily about the faith and what it means to have faith and to reassure our faith and what our faith is in. And today we're going to start the second journey in this series, and taking a deeper look at what it means to do the will of God. What does it mean to really do the will of God in our life and make that a priority in our life? So as we enter in, as we begin to go, I just want to pray. You know me, I love entering into God's word with prayer. I love entering in and just asking, Holy Spirit, speak to me. As our brother Matt, as he ended worship, he said, Lord, just whatever is said, let it be from you. Let it resonate. Let us hear. Let us understand. And so let's just pray that as we read the word, as we hear the scripture, as we begin to understand what it means, that our hearts would just be willing to receive that. Can we do that this morning? Let's bow our hearts and our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We love you so much, and we are grateful that we serve a God that allows us to participate in the kingdom of God. We are so grateful that you use us, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose. You have a will for us, God, and we are grateful for that. In that will, as we seek you, as we pursue you, you include us. You do things for our good, Lord. In the midst of our sin, in the midst of our wrongdoing, you say, I love you, I forgive you. There is a way to redemption, and in the midst of that, you use us. So, Lord, we thank you that you are willing to use us. We are your vessels. Lord, use us as you will. Let our hearts desire to seek you, to follow you, Lord. Let our hearts be turned to listen to you this morning. We love you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I was talking about the will of God and seeking out the Lord, all right, will of God. What does it mean to do the will of God? I came across what I would consider two categories for the will of God. And there is the personal will of God, and there's the universal will of God. And what do I mean by that? Every single person in this room has a unique, specific calling on their life. Every single person in this room. My calling is different than Maureen's calling. Her calling is different than Tyler's calling. Tyler's calling is different than Heath's calling. They're all different callings. The Lord has put something specific on you. If my calling was to do this, I'm doing it. If my calling was to be out there opening doors, I would do that. Whatever the calling is, that's what he's called us to. And if you're not in your calling, you're going to find that it's difficult. If I was running the kitchen, whew, boy. Maureen's laughing. Yeah, we might see the numbers start to, oh, those cookies would not be good, let me tell you. But if that calling, that specific calling that's on your life, that should be your desire to pursue that. I'm going to get into universal calling later, probably tomorrow or next Sunday or next week. But that's the specific calling that's on all of us based on the Word of God, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But today, I really want to focus on what is your specific calling. How do we figure that out? What does that look like? What does that mean? Some people have callings to spread the gospel through running a business. There are many business owners out there who promote the love of Christ in their shop that are a, if you ever walk into Hobby Lobby, the first thing you see are all these devotionals, the Word of God. You see it, boom, right in there, worship music on the background. It's like, this is a place that is in the world that is promoting the love of Christ. A good friend of mine, he works for ESL up in Rochester, and he left there to get into some big old mumbo-jumbo finances that I know nothing about, but he's plugged into a church and is helping the pastor and helping other churches help pastors finance, help pastors seek the Lord in their finances. He used his gifting, he used his calling to glorify God. Some have calling to be missionaries. We have so many nurses and teachers in this place that their calling, their gifting is to be a teacher, is to be a nurse, to be a doctor, to be a lawyer. Whatever it is, if you're driving school buses, if you are working in the cafeteria, if you're cleaning houses, as you enter into every single one of those places, interact with a person, the Lord is calling you in that moment. That is your personal calling. Stay-at-home moms. Hannah and I are going through this conversation right now because she believes that the Lord is calling her to be a stay-at-home mom and raise her children. And I said, hallelujah. Said, if that is how the Lord is calling you, I want to equip you for that, and I want to see the Lord equip you for that, because that is a calling that is so great. How the Lord calls you as an individual is specific to you, and his calling for you is the will of God over your life. The calling is the will of God. And that was the case for Jesus. If you look here at Galatians 1, 3 through 4, it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That was a specific call that was only on Jesus' life. Only Jesus could have redeemed our sins. It was only Jesus that could have been there up on the cross. No one else could have done it. And if he had decided not to, he would have been working outside the will of God. We talked last week about his prayer to God the Father on the mountain saying, Lord, if possible, take this cup from me. This is a big task, Lord. Take it from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In the midst of not wanting to receive the most painful death, he says, not my will, but your will for my life, Father. It's not like he could have asked somebody else to do it for him. It's not like he could have gone, Peter, hey, Peter, I got an offer you can't refuse, Peter. I got something. I hope you're not afraid of heights and nails because I got something I need you to do for me. He couldn't have done that because Peter wasn't perfect and blameless. The call on Jesus' life as our perfect, blameless, sinless sacrifice was to die for our lives. It could have only been done by Christ, and he decided to walk in his call that was on his life as the Son of God. You see, when we decide to walk in the calling on our life, we are walking in the will of God. If you are walking in your calling, if you are doing what the Lord has asked you to do, you are fulfilling the will of God in your life. And let me tell you, when you walk in your call, man, it is the best thing possible for you. When you walk in that calling, when you know without a doubt, I am where I am supposed to be with the Lord, man, it's the best feeling. There's nothing more freeing than doing what the Lord has asked you to do, which has certainly been the case in my life, times where I wasn't doing what the Lord had asked me to do, fear and anxiety of not knowing what's next, of, oh my goodness, Lord, how am I going to provide? How am I going to do this? It's funny, making more than I do now, I had more fear and anxiety about providing for my family than I do now, because I know if you're walking in the call of God in your life, I'm talking to somebody this morning, if you're walking in the call of God in your life, it doesn't matter how much you make. He will provide for you and your family. He will provide for you and your family. I think sometimes, especially as Americans, it's like, I got to look for the next best thing. I got to look for the next best thing. What job pays more? What job pays more? The Lord might call you to the best paying job. Hallelujah. The Lord might call you to sell everything and move to a different country to glorify his name. Hallelujah. The better option is the one with his call on it. The better option will always be the one with his call on it. things that I've gone through that I've gone like, oh, Lord, this is too big for me. And he says, no, I have you where you're supposed to be. Have peace. Have peace. Rest in where you are because I have called you there. And although there are times where I have lots of questions and I don't understand what God is doing in those moments, it's when God says, have peace because I have you where I want you. Have peace because I have you where you want you. You see, his peace will rest on your life when you walk in his will and call. His peace will rest on you when you walk in his calling, when you walk in his gifting. Let me tell you, if you're walking outside of that, oh man, it'll be fearful. It'll be riddled with anxiety. Many believers struggle with anxiety and stress in their lives, and some of that comes through experiences that we have no control over. At the same time, I believe if we start to be obedient to the calling and the will of God on our life, we will see the mess and the stress in our lives start to clear as we walk in the things of God. I mean, the greatest example in Scripture of this is Jonah. That's the biggest example of we have not walking in your call, eaten by a fish. Walking in your call, blessed in a place where he should have been beaten and killed, yet he was blessed and was able to do his job. Had peace in the midst of people who wanted to kill him. That's why we have missionaries who are serving in horrible, awful places that have peace knowing the Lord has called me here so I can trust and believe in what you're doing, God. If we walk in his calling, I believe that stress and that mess in our lives will begin to clear. And that's not to say it'll be easy. It's not to say that it's going to be perfect. What I am saying is that when we walk with God, rather than walk away from God, we know that God is leading us. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. When we walk in his word, when we walk in his will, we know and can be confident, all right, Lord, your word, which is a lamp unto my feet, I can see the next step. I might not see all the way down there. If I were to turn one lamp on in this place, I could see here, but I don't know what's going on over there. But I can see that next step when I'm walking in his will. When I'm walking in his word, I can see the next step. But when we start to go in our own will, when we start to go in our own calling, we have no lamp unto our feet. And then we start to go, why am I fearful? Why am I afraid? Why don't I have peace? I should have peace. I'm at a better job. I'm at a better place in my life. I like what I'm doing. I feel pleasure in what I'm doing. But why am I not at peace? Or why does it feel like my life is just getting harder? It's because there's not a lamp unto our feet. We don't know the direction that we're going. But when we say, Lord, your will be done in my life. Lord, let your word resonate in my heart and lead me. We might not know what's down the road, but we can say, Lord, I know what my next step is. It might be a big step. It might be a step of faith. It might be a small step, but we can see that next step. When we are out of his call, it feels anxious. It feels fearful. Like we don't have any answers, and that's because we are. So many people are looking for peace in this life, and I want to encourage you today, if that's you, if you aren't satisfied with your life and what it looks like, if you aren't satisfied with your circumstances, if you're afraid, if you're anxious, if you're full of fear, if you're disappointed with what life looks like right now for you, just begin to seek out the will of God in your life. Begin to seek out his will. Ask him, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I doing what you have called me to do? And he is faithful. We've been talking about that a lot in this series. He is faithful to tell you, yes, this is what I've called you to do. This is what I've asked you to do. Go ahead. But let me tell you, if you're genuine and you ask him genuinely, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Be prepared for a nuh-uh. Be prepared for sometimes for you to get a nuh-uh from the Lord. We read all throughout the scripture that when people were out of line, God would say, uh-uh. Thankfully, he doesn't do it the same way he used to. When the Israelites were in uh-uh phase, there was a chasm that would open up and consume half the nation. Thankfully, the Lord has not done that to us in our uh-uh moments. He is faithful to say, hey, you're not walking with me, but you can. You're not walking in my will, but hey, there's forgiveness. Walk with me. Walk with me. He is a God of second, third, fourth, tenth chances. So if today you're going, I don't think I've been walking in the will of God, or maybe you're like, hey, I know I have not been walking in the will of God, all you got to do is say, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. I want to walk in your will. I know there might be some repercussions for my actions, but I want to walk in your will today. And he'll say, welcome home. Welcome home. That's what he'll say to you this morning. Seek out the Lord. Begin to seek him out. He is faithful. Provide a life that will not harm you and will allow you to prosper. And let me tell you, this is something we as believers got to understand. It's not worldly prosperity we're looking for. It is not worldly prosperity. Sometimes prosperity in your life will be living with the means that you have. Sometimes prosperity will be the Lord has blessed me with an awesome paying job and I want to bless other people. The prosperity that the Lord brings is joy, peace, and hope. Things that money could not buy in this life. That's why you have believers with six-figure jobs have less peace and hope than missionaries who are about to get killed. And they say, I'm serving my one true king and I know I have peace. That does not make sense to the world. That does not make sense to me sometimes. I'm going, Lord, I want more peace in my life. But to know that if you're walking in his will and doing what he's asked you to do, he's going to rest on you and give you peace. That's what I want. So you might be saying, well, okay, where do I start, Pastor? I want to do the will of God. But how do I seek out that call on my life? How do I know his will for me? And I just want to read one scripture, and this is where we're going to be for the majority of today. It's Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you're willing and you're ready to lay down your life and say, not my will, but your will be done in my life, Lord, it starts right here. If that's the desire that you want to do today and say, Lord, not my will, but yours, this is a great place to start. Let me tell you, if we're going to profess ourselves as believers and claim to be his, our lives will not be satisfied without saying, Lord, I want your will in my life. We will not be satisfied as believers until we say, Lord, I want your will in my life. Yes, I know what I want to do. We all know what we want to do. We all know the plans that we have for ourselves, but the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you. Paul gives us clear instruction in that, and so we're going to break down that verse. We're going to break down Romans 12, chapter 2, because he gives us clear, I love Paul, because he gives us clear actions. He speaks in actions. These Romans, he's speaking to the Romans. They had no idea what was going on. They said, oh, this God, this Jesus, this is exciting. How do I get to be a part of this? He gives them clear instructions. And the first action he gives them, the first instruction he gives them is do not conform. Do not conform. I tell you, that is huge in the world we live in today. To not conform to the way the world looks, to the way the world acts. We are to live in this world, but not of this world. And the reason a lot of believers, I believe, struggle with knowing the will of God in their life is because the voice of God is so muddled out by the voice of this world speaking into their lives. I know there's been seasons in my life where I'm going, God, I want your will to be done. But what I was prioritizing was the voice of all those around me speaking into my life of how I should be living my life. It begins to muddle the voice of the Lord. And because of that, it's hard for us to hear the will of God if we can't hear him speak to us. And when we conform to the world, we are putting the voice of this world ahead of the voice of our God. For instance, Deborah's not here. I'll share this. It's not like she'd know anyways. But just yesterday, Hannah and I were having a conversation And one of the things that we're trying to teach Deborah about is how to interrupt in an appropriate way if she needs us. Because as a kid, if you need something, you just, I need something. I need something. That's how it is. And so we're saying, all right, Deborah, if two adults are talking, if mom and dad are talking, come up, just grab our hand and say, excuse me. And when there's a good pause, we'll address you and we'll talk to you. And so she comes up. We're having a conversation. She grabs Hannah's hand. Excuse me, 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 excuse me. And Hannah and I are trying. I don't give in to toddler terrorists. I want to continue and go into our conversation with my wife. And finally, we have to look and go, Deborah, no, we can't hear each other speak when you're doing that. Have patience. Granted, she did what we asked her to do, so I can't really be mad at her for that. But I could not hear my wife's voice because this voice was louder and speaking louder into us. So we had to say, hey, wait, you need to stop talking. And it's the same with our walk and our relationship with the Lord. When we're surrounded by something that goes, don't walk with the Lord, do this instead. Be friends with this thing, do this thing. Your life with drugs and alcohol is going to be better than the walk with the Lord. Your relationship with this girl or with this man is going to be more important than the Lord. And we listen to those voices, hear those voices. Then let me tell you, the world we live in today, those voices will creep in even if you try not, even if you don't allow them to. We live in a world where everything is projected and promoted even if we don't want it to. We have to put safeguards over our heart to say, no, I'm not going to allow you to speak into my life. If you know that you struggle with something, completely remove it. If you know that this is an issue with your life that you have, say, well, I need that completely out of my life because I can't have that be louder than the voice of God in my life. As we conform to the things of this world, the influence and impact that it has will be bigger than the impact and influence of God in our life. We can't treat people like garbage and speak down to them and expect the will of God to be evident for us. We can't speak horribly to our neighbor and expect that the will of God is going to be right there in front of us. We can't be controlled and ruled and seeking and desiring lust in our life and then go, why can't I see the will of God for me? Because the voice of lust in your head is more evident than the voice of God. Because we've allowed that to speak into our lives more than God. We can't surround ourselves with people that drag us down and then expect to be brought into the higher things of God. Because the voice and this people around us are going to have a bigger impact and influence than God is having in our lives. Because God is there. We have to understand that God is next to you right now. Look next to you and go, Jesus, you're there. Jesus, you're there. And no, he's not your husband, your spouse, or your kid, even though they might think they are. Jesus is right next to you. He's sitting with you. God is right there next to you. And we have to understand when we go, God, where are you? I can't hear your voice. A lot of the times we have to go, is there something that has been blocking his voice speaking into my life? And that is why Paul says, do not conform. Do not conform to this world. As soon as we start acting like the world, as soon as we start looking like the world, we will begin to lose that voice of God in our heart. It's the story of the prodigal son. As he walks away, he can't see the father anymore. But when he comes back, he's received with open arms. I could go on with lists and lists of things that get in the way of our walk with the Lord, but I just want to encourage you, look into your life and go, what is the thing that I know gets in the way of my walk with the Lord? Because we all have something. There is something in all of our lives that I go, I know that thing, if I allow it, will get in the way of my walk with the Lord. And maybe you're saying, hallelujah, it hasn't done that for 20, 30 years, and I'm staying on guard. Hallelujah, and I rejoice with you. But you might be going here today, man, it has been hard. The voice of God has been getting quieter because the voice of this thing I am struggling with is getting louder and louder and louder. You have the authority and the opportunity to say, no longer, and I'm going to let that voice be the prevalent priority voice in my life. And the way to do that, love Paul. How do we do that? How do I make that voice no longer be transformed? Be transformed. That's the next thing that Paul says in Romans 12, 2. He says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed. If we want to see his will done in our life, it's going to require us to give up our own will and start seeking him. If we want to see our life be renewed, if we want to see his will in our life instead of our own, it's going to take some transforming in our lives. The scripture says we are a new creation, a new being. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you got to be reborn. And Nicodemus is like, huh? What? How can a grown man, that defies science. He goes, no, the spirit. The spirit needs to be transformed. It needs to be reborn. If we want to see his will done in our life, it requires us to seek his. And likewise, we can't be chasing what we want. If we want to see his will, and especially we can't be chasing what we want and then label it his will. We can't chase what we want and label it his will. It doesn't work like that. I have known many people who make claims in the name of God, have made decisions based on those claims, and then 5, 10, 20 years, however long, maybe a week, have been left broken and destitute and hurting, and they're going, why? And it's because they tricked themselves, deceived themselves into going, I thought I was doing what God was doing. He says, no. You were doing what you wanted to do. Again, I talked about Jonah. Jonah tricked himself into going, no, God, you not Nineveh. Not Nineveh. There's no way I should go to Tarshish. This is what I should be doing. He tricked himself. He deceived himself. I've known so many people, so many believers that have a call, an evident gifting, prophetic abilities, the Spirit resting on them, but they are deceived by their own desires and they walk in a total opposite direction because they're claiming what they're doing is the will of God. Or anybody could go, that is not the will of God. I don't know what you think you're doing, but that is not the will of God for your life. Myself included, there has been many times in my life where I've gone, oh yeah, God, this makes me happy. And Lord, all you want is for me to be happy, God. Oh Lord, all you want for me is for me to be happy. So this must be what you want, God. You want me happy. So this thing that makes me happy, this is your will. He's saying, no, Andrew, you fool. Believe me, I've heard that one from the Lord a couple times. The Lord wants us to be blessed, yes. He says, I have plans for you to prosper, for you not to be harmed. But the understanding is that we're seeking him. If we begin to understand that his blessings are not the same as our happiness, his blessings are not the same as our happiness. I'm going to say something that's going to rattle people in here. The Lord does not care about you being happy. Hear me out. The Lord wants you blessed. The Lord wants you prosperous. The Lord wants you filled with peace, joy. And as a result, boy, you'll be feeling happy. Boy, you will be feeling happy. But there are times where I've walked in the call of God and things have not been happy. Things have not been great. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, I'm losing time here, man. But a couple weeks ago, we talked about faith is not a feeling. If our faith was based on our happiness, our faith would be all up and down. The Lord cares about you. He wants you. We talked about it, Jeremiah 29:11. He wants you. He has a plan for you that is filled with prosper. It's not to harm you. But he wants his will. You think Jesus was happy up there as they're nailing nails into his hand? I don't think so. Do you think he was happy with a crown of thorns in his head causing blood to be dripped down his face? I don't think so. Do you think he was happy when they took a spear and stabbed it into his side to make sure he was dead? I don't think so. However, he was resurrected 3 days later. He saved us. He knew that the will of God was better than his momentary happiness. And we have to recognize as believers the will of God in our life. There will be times where it's hard, it's tough. But we have to put on those heavenly glasses and say, Lord, you're doing something down the road that I don't know what you're doing now. But if I know I'm walking in your will, I can trust you. And it's hard. It's tough, guys. I did not mean to suck the life out of this room with saying that God doesn't care about you being happy. Let me tell you, if the Bills lose today, we can know that that's true. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be filled with his joy and his peace. He wants you to follow his will. And when we follow his will, we are filled with his joy, his peace, his love. Say, okay, Pastor, I want to be transformed. I want to. I want to see his will in my life. How do I do it? By the renewal of your mind. Thank you, Paul. He makes it so clear, by the renewal of your minds. Romans 8:5-6 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on Spirit is life and peace. No matter where we are in life, there have been times where we have set our minds on the things of this on the flesh. And because of that, Paul's instruction to renew your mind, it's not a one and done. It is not a one and done. This is a constant renewal of your mind. And depending on what you're dealing with and what you're going through, it's going to look different. There was a season of my life as a kid, I saw and witnessed things that a kid should not have been seeing or witnessing. And because of that, it impacted my teens, it impacted my early 20s, it started to impact my marriage, and I had to say, Lord, renew my mind. Renew my mind, Lord. Because my mind has seen flesh, my mind has thought things of flesh, and because of that, I am walking out and living things that are in this flesh. Lord, I want my mind to think on the Spirit, and that will require us to renew our mind. It will require us to think on the things of God. The renewal of your mind is an ever-occurring process because we live in this world, so we will see and think worldly thoughts that we need to submit to him on a daily basis. You might have thought some worldly thoughts on your way into church today. You might have thought some worldly thoughts as you were entering in this building, sitting down for worship. But the Lord is gracious enough to say, if you renew your mind, I will renew it for you. If you come to me and say, Lord, I want your thoughts. I want your mind. He said, okay, I'll give it to you. And you need to know where you're at today. You might be in a place where you're going, I need to renew my mind every 10 minutes. And if that's what it takes, I encourage you to do it. You might need be in a place where you're like, Lord, I'm just going to pray every night, every morning to renew my mind. And that might be where you're at. And that's for you to decide, Lord, where is my mind at? I can't tell you where your mind's at. You have to take that before God and go, Lord, where is my mind at? What do I need renewing? What thoughts keep creeping back into my head? Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's self-image issues. Maybe it's anger and frustration towards somebody. Maybe it's thoughts of deceit or stealing. Maybe it's you want to kill someone. I don't know what it is. Maybe that's the thought that you're struggling with of, I do not like this person enough. They're, ooh, if I had my way. Because those are real thoughts that people have. And if that's you, the Lord is saying, I will renew your mind. Give them to me. How great of a God we have that he says, ah, you thought the thought. Oh, guess that's how it is. He says, no, renew your mind. Give me your thoughts and I will renew your mind. Whatever it is, our job is to say, God, that thought is not of you. I'm sorry, renew my mind. And again, as a theme of today, he's faithful to say, here you go. Your mind is renewed. I want to encourage you to don't let go of that process. I want to encourage you, especially the older generation, don't stop that process. That renewing of your mind is not something that you go, okay, I've reached my my senior saint. I've reached that age of my life. I can stop renewing my mind. It'll be an easy pass until the Lord takes me. No. Renew your mind. Ask the Lord the new thing he wants to do for you, and he'll give it to you. Allow the Lord to do it. Sarah's faith in her 90s allowed her to bear a child. And I'm not saying that needs to be the renewal of your mind or the faith that you need to have. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying expect the Lord to do something for you if you're in your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, your 90s. Expect that the Lord will do something. Expect that the Lord, if you ask for a renewal of your mind, he'll renew it. We can all renew our mind if we allow God to work on us. So with that, Paul gives one last instruction. He gives one final thing, he says, and he says, discern the will of God. Alrighty, you've not conformed to this world. That's awesome. That's great. Hey, you started renewing your mind. That's great. You know what's left for you to do with that clean conscience, that clean mind? Discern the will of God. Discern the will of God. The reason that we have such a tough time discerning the will of God sometimes is, like I mentioned at the beginning, if we're not pursuing the Lord, our mind and what we're hearing is not the Lord sometimes. But when we've not conformed to this world, when we renewed our minds in the things of Christ, he said, all right, discern my will. I have a plan for you. I'm going to give you things. I'm going to tell you things. You're going to hear things. Discern it. From here, if we're removing all these things, the Lord is going to speak to us if we seek him. And we will begin to hear his will. So I encourage you, if you're at that point of, all right, I'm choosing not to conform. Pastor Andrew, I'm not conforming anymore. Pastor Andrew, I've prayed to renew my mind. And each day I'm going to pray that the Lord renews my mind. Begin to pray and ask and seek for his will and what he's doing in your life. Ask him for what his plan is. Be intentional about it. Sometimes it'll take more than 15 minutes on a Tuesday morning to figure out what the will of God is for your life. It might take you an hour in the presence of the Lord to hear from him. It might take you just sitting and going, Lord, speak to me. This hour is yours. I want to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you. Take an hour this week and set it aside for God. An hour straight. Set it aside for the Lord. And you may say, well, Pastor, that's a lot of time. Yeah, that's a good chunk out of the day, Pastor. I got kids. An hour today to let the Lord revive you and flip your world, 90, 180, would flip your world around? Man, just an hour. And I'm not saying he's going to speak to you an hour, and I'm not saying he can't speak to you in 15 minutes, but I'm saying if we want to see our life really flipped upside down, if we really want to say, Lord, I want to do the will of God, what's an hour? What's an hour to say, Lord, speak to me in this hour? Lord, I want to do this hour. Hey, TikTok's been banned. All that scrolling time, that's an hour of your day where you can just say, Lord, speak to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill me up, oh God. The Lord has given you a mind, and if it is renewed and walking with him, he's given you wisdom to discern it. I've had, oh my goodness, if you want to see a group of people overthink and over-spiritualize decisions, go to a Bible college and tell them, and just say like, hey, are any of you guys considering marriage? Oh, well, I've been waiting for my 7 signs from the Lord that I'm supposed to be married. I've been waiting for 3 years for the Lord to send in a woman with a halo over her head. And when that time comes, I will know. When the trumpets blare as the woman walks through the door, I will know. The Lord has given us a will. The Lord has given us a mind that when he is Lord over our life to discern, to test. I tell you, the Lord might have been talking to you for 5, 10 years saying, hey, go do this thing. And well, Lord, make it clear. Go do how more clear do I have to be? I'm asking you to go do it. Go do it. Well, Lord, if you build this house, I've given you hammer. I've given you nails. I've given you wood. Build the house. He's given us those things. He's given you, if you have renewed your mind and you're thinking of the things of God and you're walking in his path and his plan, he's saying, I've given you a new mind. I have given you a new mind. Discern my will for your life. And if you're going, oh, Pastor, I want it. I've not conformed. I've been transformed by the renewing. I want to discern. I've heard something from the Lord. What do I do with it, Pastor? Test it. Test it. Test his will. That's the last thing that Paul ends with in Romans 12, 2. He says, test the will of God. And the reason why is because we need to make sure that we are not deceiving ourselves into making a decision in the name of God that's not of God. A good test is, does it align with the word of God? That's the perfect test. If you want to know, Lord, I think I've heard from you. I really think you want me to do this. I was talking with an old friend of mine the other day. He's going, I really think the Lord wants me to move to this place. And on the one hand, it was great for what he had desired in his heart. It was great for his business. It was great for his work. He goes, I just want to make sure that it's not just my own desires. I want to make sure it's the Lord. I said, word of God. Does it align with the word of God? Begin to test it against scripture. You see, the Lord will never call you to do something that contradicts his word. The Lord will never tell you to do something that goes against the scripture. He'll never call you to leave your family. He will never call you to enter into sin to evangelize. Let me tell you, there is a generation, and it breaks my heart, that is entering into sin to proclaim the name of Christ. He will never call you to spend less time in his presence. He'll never say, you've been spending too much time with me. You need to take a break. That won't happen. Yes, your season of your life will look different, but he'll never tell you, spend less time in my presence. If you think the Lord is calling you to do something, test it against scripture. And it will also, Paul says that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. If what you think God is telling you is not good, acceptable, or perfect, or does it not have those results in your life, it's not the will of God. If you're doing something, it's not good, it's not acceptable, and it ain't perfect. Seek the Lord in that, because he says the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. I was watching Walker, Texas Ranger the other day. It's one of my favorite shows. My wife and I, we're living our best life. Deborah and Hannah's favorite show is Little House on the Prairie. I'm watching Walker, Texas Ranger. We're putting wallpaper on the wall. No, I'm just kidding. But I was watching it 40 years ago. If you want to see the transformation of the action genre, go watch Walker, Texas Ranger. I tell you, you're seeing gaps between fists and faces and pow, bam. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. But they had an episode where some guy's this cult leader, and he truly believes with everything in his heart that he is doing the will of God. And it's like, how in the world? It's not good. It's not acceptable. It's not perfect. There's so many people today, so many pastors and leaders. If you want to know, if you're saying, Pastor, I heard this thing, go, hey, did it align with the word of God? Was what they were saying, was it acceptable to the word of God? Did it align with the perfect will of God? And if it doesn't, it is not the will of God. Jesus says they'll know us by our fruit. They'll know us by how they act. They'll know us by our love. Yes, as believers, we'll get it wrong sometimes. I've gotten it wrong. There's been times where I really thought I was doing what God had asked, and then I look back and said, Lord, I'm sorry I missed it. I am sorry, Lord, forgive me because I missed it. Don't stop pursuing his call because you got hurt by people or your own mistakes. Pursue his perfect call, and he will perfect you during the process. If you pursue his perfect call, he will perfect you during the process. If you're going, I've been hurt by following his will. I've been hurt because I made a mistake while doing it. I've been hurt because in the midst of trying to walk in the Lord, somebody hurt me. Don't let that be a reason to give up on his call in your life. Know that in the process of pursuing his call, he will perfect you. See, the will of God for your life, his call in your life, is not something that is supposed to be causing stress or anxiety in your life. I know many believers, when I'm trying to figure out the call, what's my call? What's my call? Just seek the Lord. Read his scripture. Begin to pray. I tell you, if you're seeking the one who gives the call over seeking the calling, man, that's where it's at. Seek the one that gives the calling. Don't seek the call. He'll give it to you. You just got to seek in his presence. I'm going to close here today. I want to close with Jesus' words to John, in John. And I want, as we close, I want you to be encouraged that as we seek his will for our life, he is faithful to show us and lead us. Amen? Amen. John 15, 14 through 16, it says, "You are my friends. If you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to do your will. Lord, we want that in our lives. And wherever we're at, Lord, whatever stage, maybe we're having trouble conforming to this world and there's a bad habit that we got to drop. Lord, I pray that we'd give it over to you this morning. Lord, if we've dropped that habit, but we're struggling and going back and thinking on that thing, Father, we just give you our thoughts and our mind this morning. Renew us, Lord. Lord, and maybe we're in that place where I've renewed my mind. I've got a clean conscience. I'm ready, Lord. I pray, Father, begin to speak to your people. Father, begin to give us ears to hear, Lord. Let our hearts be turned to you, Lord. I believe that this church here, Celebrate Family Church, there is a calling on every person's life in this room right now. I know it because your word says it, Lord. And I pray that as a church, as individuals, and as the body of Christ, Lord, we would pursue your will in our life. And I believe as we do, Lord, we will see fellowship in this place. We will see evangelism flow out the doors of this place, Lord. And we will see people discipled and growing, Lord, in this building and outside of this building. Lord, we want to hear your will. We want to do it. Give us the strength, Lord. Give us the endurance to run this race. Father, we love you, we bless you, and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll have a blessed rest of your day.